This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Coutinho.
In his career at Anfield, and once he drifted into that space, it was a red flag of danger for Girona.
Welcome back to the Gorgeous Gale, 55-55 Morningside. Let me give you the rundown for the rest of the night here and who's going to be in here. Up next is one Cindy Bourbano of The Cube, but you know her throughout Houston with all her media ventures. We're going to talk about some of those. Eddie Robinson's going to join us, so you'll have the whole Dynamo TV crew, and we'll talk with Eddie and Cindy in a moment. Coming up, Corey Repkin, also from the Houston Chronicle, will be joining us, who follows the team. Jesus Acevedo, also MLSsoccer.com, and I think he's writing for Pro Soccer as well. He'll join us, and a little bit later, former Dynamo Mike Chabala is expected to come in the room tonight. We'll talk to him about left backs a little bit. Here tonight. So thanks to everybody. Again, a big thanks to Eddie with the Real Madrid group that's here tonight. Thank you, Real Madrid, for being here. Costa and the guys from Barcelona, thank you for being here. And Roger and the Liverpool group, this is their home where Liverpool watches games. And then, of course, Manny G and El Batallón, thank you very much. We appreciate all you guys for coming out and making it very, very fun tonight. All right. Cindy Bourbano joins me now, so let's talk a little bit about, first of all, you are a big asset to our broadcast team because of your ability to speak to the players in Spanish.
Thank you.
So you saw Hector doing the translation tonight.
Yes.
It's got to be difficult. Is it hard to do, and how much time do you have to have in order to, you know, put it back out there again?
Yeah, well, first off, thank you for having me here, and thank you for your invitation. It's always a pleasure to be back with the team, you and Eddie. It can be a little bit challenging to try to remember everything they're saying in Spanish and then try to just translate it in English, but I do have that ability. I speak both languages since I was born, so it's really not that difficult, but I really like being able to speak to the Hispanic players in their language because I feel like they're more comfortable and they might tell me things that's difficult for them to say in English.
I think you get more details out of them.
Yes.
Frankly. I mean, because they're probably more comfortable and they're speaking in their first language.
Yes, and I've known a lot of them now for over a year. They come also to, I work for Mega 101 for Intercom Radio now, it used to be CBS Radio. And on Mega, we support the Dynamo, we bring the players in, and it's nice to be able to communicate with them. And of course, we always have a good time because it is a morning show, so we get to talk to them in a way that maybe most people don't know them and kind of make fun of them a little bit.
We'll get back to Cindy with more. We welcome in Eddie Robinson. So this is, we have to say, Eddie, when we got a good sideline reporter behind the bench, bilingual, our broadcasts were up in a big way. So you and me are next to stardom, and it helps us shine a little bit.
Well, listen, I mean, we had a broadcast meeting today, getting all the producers together, everybody at the stadium, the on-air talent. We talked about it, and one thing that I said was, you know, we have to get Cindy involved more because she is so important, because she can understand now what Wilmer is saying to the Hispanic players on the field. Right, that's not something that we would have known in the past, and she can relay that information to you and I. We could be speculating if the Dynamo were having a rough game. We could speculate, why are the Dynamo playing so poorly? Now, if Cindy chimes in and says, well, here's what Wilmer's yelling to Albert Elise or to Tomas Martinez, maybe that vindicates what we're saying. Maybe that just kind of gives us another layer of credibility, or
it adds to it, or it could be completely different.
It's something different, so then you and I have another talking point. Something else to speculate on. But as you said, with the interviews, being able to go a little bit more in depth, but also hearing what's going on the sideline with the cultural diversity that this Dynamo team now has across the coaching staff as well as the players. She's a super important part to this, and we're certainly glad you're back.
Yeah, thank you, absolutely.
We definitely are, and they're standing behind a bench. Two guys in a booth up above the stadium
cannot get that information. I keep it PG, guys. Yeah. There are some language out there, you know, and with Hector's help as well, he helps me. He's kind of like my sideline assistant.
Well, let me ask you this. You're so used to music stars and movie stars and the red carpet stuff. What was the biggest challenge for you once you did your first MLS game with the Dynamo? Was there anything that stood out to you like, wow, I didn't expect that. That's a little bit more difficult. I'll be prepared for it next time. Is there anything that was that challenged you?
I think the actual interviews, and you did mention artists. I think that in some way I am, as far as actors or singers and that type of entertainment industry, they're very prepared in doing interviews and what they're supposed to say and how to carry themselves like that. A lot of these players, I mean, they're athletes. That's what they focus on. So not necessarily know how to give detail in their answers, and sometimes you just gotta ask another question, try to get a little more information because, you know, they are focused so much on the game and not so much on selling themselves.
So here's a great story. World Cups this summer, did an interview with a center back for Nigeria, Super Eagles. Leon Balogun plays in Germany in the Bundesliga. Nigerian father, German mother. Sounds totally German, okay? I'm with two other people, but I'm leading the interview because we're getting information for the World Cup, Nigeria Super Eagles. And he's across the ocean. And I can feel it through the phone that this guy is totally engaged, totally professional, totally listening to everything, and he's answering just phenomenal. And you know, even though you can't see him or look at him, that he's totally engaged in this interview. And to me, incredibly professional. And I think that's an area and an element in MLS that's got to improve in a big, big way. But this guy knows he's got a platform, and he has to be very, very serious with it. And he can't act as though he doesn't want to engage and be there. And I walked away from that going, can't wait to watch Nigeria. And by the way, I'm rooting for Leon Balogun.
There you go. I'm a fan.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it does remain a work in progress. And without a doubt, there's some players that are better than others in interviews. So when you interview somebody that's hard to crack,
yes,
hard to get something out of them, what sort of techniques do you use?
I try to make them laugh. Yeah. I'll be silly. I'll just kind of get them a little off what they expect me to say or what they
loosen them up.
Yeah, I loosen them up a little bit before the interview, and if I see that they're just a little bit difficult, you know, and I'll work with them. But the Dynamo is amazing. They've all been so great. So I'm excited to talk to Tomas Martinez. I think that's one of my ultimate favorite interviews. I can't wait to talk to him and wearing the 10 and just that responsibility that number just kind of carries. And his idea on the new team and what
I love that, what that number carries. Mm. Love that.
Doesn't it?
That means a lot in Argentina, that number 10.
Well, in Latin America, it is. Yes. I mean, when you're the 10, you're the 10. It's important. So I want to talk to him and see how he feels the team now with the new additions and the people that have left and now also filling some pretty big shoes, you know, with Vicente leaving as well.
That's not. There's no question there, and the curiosity for me comes out as: is he going to be challenged? And we've talked about Dylan Rimmick tonight, who was here in the left back position. Albert Elise being pushed by Ramel Kyoto, being pushed by possibly Arturo Alvarez, Andrew Wenger. Who's pushing Tomas Martinez? I think that's a great question. That's something that needs to be asked throughout the season because you don't ever want players to get complacent and know that this spot is mine. I'm okay with it. You want to have someone behind him, so I think it's very important to.
Here's my big piece going into the season, and if he is being designated as a number 10, this is a guy that has to dictate a game.
Yes.
He needs a lot of the ball. The Dynamo, that's an area they weren't particularly good at last year, and they struggled against deeper defending teams. And a number 10, as you know, Eddie, because you've played with a lot of good ones. I played with good ones back in the dark ages. They want the ball. And if they don't get enough of the ball and they don't feel like they've painted the picture in a game over the course of 90 minutes, they're frustrated. I saw Tomas Martinez frustrated last year at the end of the year because the Dynamo morphed into a very different team. And he didn't get a lot of the ball. And I think that's a big piece this year is how do the Dynamo get him a lot of the ball in favorable positions, and how much does this team actually change when it comes to being a bit more possession-oriented?
I think it all falls on that number eight. I don't think there's any question that Juan David Cabezas is the favorite for the number six to sit in front of the back four. He's unbelievable.
He really
had an amazing season. I look at a guy in Darwin Serin who I think is being a little overlooked by Dynamo fans at the moment with his ability. If Tomas Martinez has two behind him that are willing to sit, that are willing to get out wide when the outside backs for the Dynamo get forward, cover defensively, and keep one defensive midfielder in that center area, I think that Tomas Martinez will feel more comfortable in getting the ball at his feet, because if he does lose it while he's trying to create, he knows that he's got five guys behind him.
Absolutely.
And I think that's important. So for me, I mean, I talked about it today on Facebook Live with Ben Crook at Dynamo Media Day. What does Wilmer Cabrera do in that midfield? I think it's pretty certain that Tomas Martinez will be the 10. It's pretty certain that Juan David Cabezas will be the 6. Who is that third person in the midfield? And if they can get some consistency week in and week out with that same 3 and they develop a chemistry, I think the sky's the limit for the Dynamo.
Well, he's had a full preseason as well, so that's got a bode in his favor. Who do you think the third midfielder will be from a consistency basis? Because look, there was a rotation policy, you know, and that's a tough thing to keep everybody happy when you rotate people in and out. Now, a lot of it was organic because of World Cup qualifying. We don't have that now.
Right.
So who do you think it is? Is it Eric Alexander? What's the role of Arturo Alvarez?
I was just going to say Arturo Alvarez.
Who sits next to Cabezas?
Arturo Alvarez has had an amazing preseason. I mean, he's got the experience. He's got the knowledge. I think he's a humble guy. Who brings a lot to the table. I'm excited to see him, and I think he is a key player this year.
Do you guys, if is the balance right when the ball's lost, if you got Arturo, Tomas, and Cabezas there? Is there enough there defensively?
That's where I'm not quite sure. I agree with Cindy and all of the characteristics that Arturo has. You're spot on. I think he's going to push guys not just for the center of midfield but out on the wings as well. But if the Dynamo are going to allow the attacking three, as well as Tomas Martinez, kind of carte blanche. Uh-huh. Just go, don't worry about defending. I think there has to be a little bit more of a defensive-minded or at least two-way player. I think Arturo fits in the number 10 perfectly. He fits in on that left wing perfectly. He fits in on the right wing perfectly because we saw him do it in preseason.
Love
cut inside onto his left foot.
Exactly.
I mean, the kid can play a multitude of positions. But if this Dynamo team does stick with a mostly counterattacking style, I think that Arturo is more suited for a higher role.
We heard Dylan Remick tonight saying there's going to be a lot of pressing in the right areas at the right times.
Only time will tell, right? I
mean, by the way,
find out on Saturday.
Arturo could play high on the left side in a front three as well.
His left leg's amazing. He's amazing. I think that this new season bringing in the Salvadorian players is just going to bring a little extra oomph to what we needed, and I feel like the players are also hungry. They're not as complacent, or they don't feel maybe like everything is sure. And we saw the way that Wilmer was coaching his last season. He's just changing everybody up and doing all the, and you never knew what to expect. So that's also keeps, I guess, the players on their tippy toes.
And we know guys were getting in their cars after games at home and on the road, not happy. And that's a part of it. That's a part of it. And you can bet your bottom dollar that was going on. Arturo Alvarez, by the way, is an amazing story. He was actually coached by a guy named Carlos Lessa here in Houston, a Brazilian. What Carlos did with him, and he played on the indoor pro team called the Houston Hotshots in the Summit back in those days in the 90s. What he did was he allowed Arturo to just be as creative as can be. Didn't wrestle him with a whole bunch of defensive responsibility. allowed him to express himself, which is what type of player he is. In his last year, he had a very good team. They were beating up on everybody. Carlos asked me to take the team. What can we do with him to challenge him? And we put him in a men's league. So I coached him in the men's league. And I have a very famous, funny story. The first game we're playing in a men's league, they're all looking over because they're winning all their youth games. And they're looking at a couple guys with pot bellies. And and I know this team that they're playing. Yeah, I know this team that they're going to play. And they're acting, you know, like they're the World Cup winning team and this is going to be easy and these guys can't run and all this stuff. And it was amazing because I went to the manager and I said, wait till you see these guys at halftime. Because I knew they weren't going to get a lot of the ball against this team, which they didn't. And the best guy on the team, by the way, was the guy with the pot belly.
Oh, how funny.
Okay, so at halftime, I was able to kind of get there. I just let them get slaughtered in the first half and be down a couple of goals. And then at halftime, I was able to get their attention. So it's pretty interesting. But as we all know, and you know, Eddie, you have to change the environment for youth players. And Arturo went into Major League Soccer at 18, and he's a local product.
Yes.
He was born in Bear Creek Park, playing in those dirt fields and rough fields out there forever.
I thought he was 17 when he moved into my house in San Jose, California. Story not many people know.
Yes.
I believe it was 2003. Okay, this is my third season in San Jose. Our head coach, Frank Yallop comes to myself. A guy named Scott Bauer, a guy named Ian Russell, a guy named Zach Ibsen. Anybody that's been an MLS fan for a long time knows all of those guys. Says, hey, there's a 17-year-old kid. The league has signed, and we're getting him. His name's Arturo Alvarez. We're putting him in the house with you. We said, okay, no problem. So Arturo comes in, and I'm 24 years old, and needless to say, after a couple of weeks, Frank calls us into his office and absolutely scolds all of us because we're not being the best mentors for Arturo. But this is.
We won't go into that.
That's a story a lot of people don't know, that Arturo Alvarez moved into my house in San Jose when he was 17.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're up on a hard break here. A quick reminder, there is a youth soccer club in Houston called the Cy-Fair Dynamos, plural. Every year they have done a clinic for pediatric cancer that benefits a thing called Curing Children's Cancer Fund at cccfund.org. I have a big appreciation for them stepping up every year to do this. They're going to do it again. I'm going to be announcing some of the dates. If you have sons or daughters and you want to get out there, it's only $55. All the money's donated back to Texas Children's Hospital. It's mostly for pediatric cancer awareness for Texas Children's Hospital and Curing Children's Cancer Fund. So Olivier Finidori, Joe B. Napier, Jim Walker, we thank you very much for the dedication each and every year. For doing that, we're going to take a break here. We got more to come. Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, give them a round of applause. They are your Dynamo broadcast team. And coming up next, Corey Repkin and Jesus Acevedo Jr.
ESPN 97.5. This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the Gorgeous Gale, 55-55 Morningside. Hey, big round of applause for Victor Ariza here, who's a big, big, big part of Soccer Matters on the radio. And we appreciate that. Jose Partida back in studio. Don't cheer for him too much or he's going to get a big hit. But Victor's a real asset and also a good journalist in his own right. And back in studio is Jose Partida Jr. Jose, you there? Jose.
I am.
So Jose, by the way, is revealed that he's a big Barcelona fan, our producer. So the Real Madrid guys are going to have to give him a hard time. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets, 2:30. A thanks to Eddie Robinson. Give him a round of applause as he heads out the door. 2:30 this weekend, HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. And I still have a few more to give away here. We've been giving them out real fast. Okay, joining us now on the show from the Houston Chronicle, you can read, he is the beat writer for the Dynamo, Corey Repkin. Round of applause for Corey. And also from ProSoccerUSA.com and MLSSoccer.com, Jesus Acevedo Jr. So give him a round of applause, too. These guys do follow the team in a very, very big way and do a lot of writing about them. So I'm going to ask you both. I'll start with you, Jesus. Biggest talking point going into 2018 for the Houston Dynamo?
Can they still do what they did last season? You know, last season they came out and they surprised teams, but they can't do that this season. Teams know what to expect with the Houston Dynamo. They're going to come out and they're going to counterattack. So now, you know, what's their plan B? Because teams know how to defend against the Houston Dynamo now. And I think that's where Tomas Martinez comes in. You know, he has a full preseason with the Dynamo, and I think that's also where Arturo comes in. You know, the creativity that they can connect passes. So to me, that's the biggest question is, can they repeat on what they did last season, you know, beyond just counterattacking? Because that's always going to be there. That's not going away. But they need to find something else to create goals.
Well, we heard Dylan Remick, Corey, talking about a pressing game and trying to win the ball up the field a little bit higher. I thought we saw some of that in the early part of 2017. They did have balance problems. And then at the end of the year, it was pretty much an out-and-out counterattacking team. So biggest issue to you, Corey?
Well, Jesus pretty much stole exactly what I was going to say, but that's why he's smart.
Great minds work.
But, yeah, in terms of the pressing thing, I think you're going to see a little bit more of that this year. And one thing that Wilmer has discussed is, yeah, you know, we had the counterattacking, but now we need to add to it. And maybe his first season he didn't want to put too much on him right away. And now since he has a lot of the same players back, they're adding to it. And that's going to help them be a little bit more effective at some of the things they want to add this year, like pressing and possessing the ball more and maybe building attacks out of the back more than they did last season.
Yeah, and I would agree. I would say there were times their possession game could have helped them manage games and calm games down a little bit, and they did struggle in that department. But the real question to be is how do you get the best out of Tomas Martinez, Jesus? And we asked Eddie Robinson and Cindy Bravano that same question. How do you get the best out of Tomas Martinez? Because the number 10 wants the ball at his feet. He doesn't want to watch it get knocked over his head back and forth. And number 10 doesn't leave a game feeling fulfilled unless he gets a lot of the ball. How do they get him on the ball more in the right areas?
To be honest, I think that's going to fall on Juan David Cabezas and Darwin Serena to, you know, find him and get him the ball as soon as possible. But then that's the tricky part because, I mean, you know, once you have Elise on the wing, it's so easy. Okay, let me just give it to Elise because you know the danger that he possesses. That's the thing is, you have to pick and choose when to, you know, give it to Elise, when to give it to, you know, who's in Kyoto when he's back. And I think that's the problem too, that Tomas, yes, he was only with the team half the season, but even in the half season, we couldn't really see all that he could do because he was still trying to, you know, gain his footing with this team. So how they actually do that, I think the first couple of months, I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of struggle out of the gate. But not so much struggle, is that they're trying to find themselves beyond just counterattacking. Is finding that plan B or finding different ways to attack team beyond just counterattacking.
Yeah, I'm in agreement with you guys because I think we saw them morph into a number of different things last year. And I think you have to do that in MLS, even with the weather as well. Nobody can play a high-pressing game for a majority of games when it's 90 degrees. I mean, you have to pick and choose your moments. When I lead into you, Corey, I say, how do the Dynamo get more results on the road? Because they were close in some games. How do they turn some of these draws into 3 points to take the pressure off? Because excellent record at home last year with 12 wins, but they do have to figure out the road a little bit better, and we do know it's a problem for most teams in MLS, but they got to pick off another 9 points on the road.
Yeah, you're right. You know, and I think a lot of that comes back to how they're going to do better in possession. Because last season, if they were on the road, they'd fall behind. And, you know, the opponent knew that the Dynamo couldn't do anything. If they had to build out of the back and score goals. And the game was pretty much over at that point. So the Dynamo are going to have to use that high pressing, that possession that they're going to add this season. And they're going to have to do that on the road. And they're going to have to prove they can do it. Because if they don't, then it's just going to be more of the same this year if they fall behind.
Corey Repkin, Houston Chronicle. Jesus Acevedo, ProSoccerUSA.com, MLSSoccer.com. Some of your beat writers in Houston. We're at 5555 Morningside in West University. This is the gorgeous Gale. Got a great crowd of people in here tonight. We really appreciate everybody coming out on a Tuesday. We got a lot of Barcelona jerseys. We got a lot of Dynamo jerseys. We did not talk much about the Champions League tonight because we wanted to dedicate this 2 hours to the Dynamo in their opener against Atlanta United. But it's hard not to talk about the Champions League. All right, Kubo Torres. Whew. Bust, big bust in Houston at the end of the day when you look at the entire time he was here, now at Pumas.
I think there's a lot of implications if you consider him a bust. You know, the first couple of seasons, he didn't get playing time. But then again, that goes back is, was he fit? You know, Owen Coyle, when he was here, he didn't really take to him. You know, we finally saw what he could do last season under, you know, what they call the Kubo Whisper, Wilmer Cabrera. But even then, he had a fast start, and then he kind of slowed down and kind of, you know, pick and choose. And so I don't know if he was a bust, but he definitely wasn't a, I guess you could say, victory for the team. You know, I'm sure the team expected more out of him, especially with the big Mexican population here. They wanted more out of him. You know, there was one big reason why MLS Soccer would ask me so many Kubo stories, and I was like, there's just nothing more I can write about a guy who's not producing.
But the reality is, I think it's a bit of both. I think he should have been used more by Owen Coyle. But let's not forget, he came into Houston under very difficult circumstances with some real serious allegations in Mexico. He was not fit. He probably wasn't fit mentally either. Two seasons without a goal. Pretty unbelievable. And then he gets 14 under Cabrera. I think slightly deceptive. I think without a doubt, excellent footballer. I do hope that he can pull it together and grow up a little bit. I think that would help him immensely. Your thoughts on Kubo Torres and his tenure here, Corey?
I wouldn't say he's a total bust, but what you guys have said. I mean, they certainly wanted more out of him. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, he's at the top of the list for goals scored in the season. So that's significant. But, you know, in addition to what you guys talked about, you know, the allegations as he came to Houston and not being fit and not playing, in addition to that, I think he kind of always wanted to be in Mexico, especially when things didn't start.
So you didn't think he really wanted to be here fully?
Well, yeah, fully, yes. I think he was committed, but, I mean, it's human nature. Like you want to be somewhere else in the long run, maybe at the end of your contract. You know, are you going to give 100%? Maybe not. Maybe you give 90%. Maybe you give 92%.
Yeah, 80% I was always taught that if you want to get somewhere else, you better be doing good at where you are at the moment, especially as a professional soccer player. But I understand what you're saying, which takes you back to how focused he was mentally during his time here in Houston.
Some fans on Twitter and my social media feed have speculated that, oddly enough, Kubo is more active on social media with Pumas than he was with the Houston Dynamo. Take that for what you will, but maybe that goes to the point Corey was making, that he always wanted to be back in Mexico.
It's a former dad.
But he's also not
like
playing a lot of Pumas because
it's Pumas.
Yeah, exactly. the rotation policy. Now, some of that's organic last year, guys, obviously, because of World Cup call-ups. I've made a prediction that Albert Elise will score 15-plus goals this year simply because he doesn't have the Honduras duty. And I'm going to stick by that. Agree or disagree?
I disagree. I think we'll see Elise have more of a, like, 10 goals, 8 assists, just because I think he's been very active, especially in the preseason, in setting people up. And I think, you know, he may not get, you know, 15 goals, but I think 10 goals, 8 assists are still very, very good. I actually think Mauro's going to be the one leading the Dynamo in scoring, although it wouldn't surprise me if Elise goes for 15 goals plus or more. I mean, that was one of the things that he told me, is that he wants to lead this league in scoring or be among the league leaders in scoring. So that's on his mind, definitely.
Yeah, I like hearing those goals. And by the way, Mauro Minotas, I like when the Dynamo players get a little bit bold. Mauro Minotas said, look, I want to take penalties this year. I want to be the guy taking the penalty kicks. That's a good sign to me when it comes from a confidence standpoint, and we've seen him grow, Corey.
Absolutely. You know, I know he was hurting a little bit last year when the first time he got to take a PK and Kubo was not in the game. Mauro took it. I want to say it was against Minnesota United, but Mauro missed it, and it didn't end up costing the team, but I could tell that was really bothering him after the game, and I know that he's the kind of guy that's going to want to get back at it, and he's going to want to have another chance, and I think he's going to thrive this season if he's given the chance to do it.
Jesus, let me lead you into Marcelo Palomino, because a number of my friends around the country that are in the coaching game have told me he's the real deal. What I've seen looks like the real deal, looks mature beyond his years of 16 years of age. You think he's signed by Friday by the Houston Dynamo to a full contract at 16 years of age?
I'm going to say yes and no. I'll say yes because...
You can't say both.
Well, it's one
can,
or the
yes,
other.
Yes, you can. Here, hold on. Let me give you this chair and you can fence it between these two.
I just think, I don't know if he signs, if they sign him to a full contract, I don't know how much playing time he'll get with the first team or even how much opportunity he'll get. But I think what the Dynamo may do is send him down to the Valley, you know, get some minutes with RGB, and that way he gets some professional minutes. And if he's doing well, and if he does as well as these people say that he is, there's no reason why they can just call him back up.
So I think he's in a great position, because I think he can say, look, yeah, if I do sign a pro contract, I want to train with the first team, and I think that's essential for him. I think he's above the Valley, quite frankly, and I know that's a heady thing to say for a 16-year-old, but we have to not be afraid to accelerate the development of these players. I look at Atlanta, and I've watched some of these kids in the under-17 World Cup. Chris Goslin, Andrew Carlton. These kids need to play.
Play your
and
kids.
Now with Tam right now, it's created a bit of a problem because, you know, there may only be three or four Americans starting on opening day for the Houston Dynamo. And this is a problem around the league now. And it's not, I don't think it's, not sure it's a problem, but your young American players still need to be somewhat the backbone of the league. And I think because of the targeted allocation money, it's allowing people to buy more foreigners, and it's cutting in. It's a balance that needs to be looked at, in my opinion, Corey. Where do you sit on this?
Absolutely. But the flip side of that is, you know, are MLS teams responsible for playing those American players when they can go get someone who may be more ready for the league right away? I mean, they have to win. I mean, there's coaches who might get fired if they don't perform well on the if their teams don't perform well on the field. So it's really hard to go against them and them wanting to have experienced players out there as opposed to someone that's got to get minutes and learn on the fly.
Yeah, so we're becoming like the Premier League.
That's exactly what I want to say, is that MLS has said that they want to be one of the best leagues in the world, and the best leagues in the world, EPL, you know, Bundesliga, La Liga, they have a vast players from all over the country, not just from Germany, England, and Spain. Yeah. You know, England has a problem too, where EPL teams, they don't have that many English players. So if MLS wants to be a top league, this is where they have to go. And the American players, if they want to make it on a team, they have to compete. What better way is to say...
But they also have to get opportunity as well. And I think coaches have to be bigger and bolder and a little bit braver. I don't want to see some slightly above average player playing above an American youth international that could use the blooding, could use the grooming. Because after all, in 94, when we got the World Cup here, the designation was 96 when you have a pro league. Supposed to be built on and include the American player. I don't care what they're doing in England. There are some young, very talented under 20 U.S. internationals and under 17s. I've called these games. I've watched them. Some of them are at pro clubs in Europe, at PSG, Tim Weah.
Why is that? They're going over there because MLS teams aren't giving them that opportunity. So I'll agree to that point. They're going over
absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. But I want to see some coaches become bigger, braver, and bolder, and I think you're going to see some this year. I think you'll see it in Salt Lake. And guys that aren't afraid to step out a little bit. I get the whole pressure of the winning thing. I get that. We hear that all the time. I see people that can combine both and give decent minutes to young players, because as much as we want the team to be diverse to represent Houston, that means a few gringos got to be in the team, right?
Well, there's plenty of them.
We got gringo writers and commentators. Why not players? But all right. Go ahead.
No, I would say, the Mexican League is also going through a similar phase. They're starting to bring a lot more foreigners, and they're starting to come up with, you know, they're thinking about changing rules to where teams have to have a certain amount of Mexican players on their team. So is that something that perhaps MLS needs to look at? I don't know. Is that where each MLS team has to play one American or at least one you know, kid under 20 weren't. That's from the American. I don't know. It's definitely open for a lot of questions to what they can do. Because I agree, there's a lot of good American players that aren't getting an opportunity to play.
Jesus, I'm up on a hard break. You guys stick with me here. Jesus Acevedo Jr., Corey Repkin here. We're talking Dynamo. We'll take a break. We got more coming with Mike Chabala. He'll join me next. And we'll take a quick break here. When we come back, we'll do our final segment from the beautiful, gorgeous Gale here, 5555 Morningside in West University. Thanks for everybody tuning in here tonight. We'll take a quick break. More to come from the gorgeous Gale.
Jumbo check. It wasn't easy. But nothing ends.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from the gorgeous Gale in Rice Village, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to 5555 Morningside, the gorgeous Gale. Former Dynamo Mike Chabala joining us here right now. So, Mike, I'm always interested what people are doing post-career. What are you doing now?
Thanks for having me on, Glenn. I started a soccer-inspired fitness concept called Sphere. So, essentially, I'm competing against the boutique fitness market like SoulCycle or CrossFit's, Bar Methods, yoga studios. I've created an interactive workout that's 45 minutes. I've got about 7 different types of classes. I'm building my first brick and mortar here in Houston. I'm in the River Oaks area. Been working on it for about 3 years. So my goal is to bring together people through passes. It's been amazing.
Sphere.club, S-P-H-E-R-E dot club. Obviously, you're very passionate about getting people fit and just being in the fitness game.
Yeah, it's part of my game. You know, when I was playing for the Dynamo, I was always fitness,
fit
running up and down the field. But I was also an assist guy, right? So on and off the field, I like to connect people, you know, and of course passes. But, you know, this is going to be an amazing season for the Dynamo, and I'm excited to see how the team does and be a part of you know, the 2018 season, and it's going to be amazing. I'm looking forward to the guys.
He's Mike Chabala, Sphere.club. We'll have him back on again. We thank Mike for coming out from the gorgeous Gale tonight. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Thanks for coming out.
ESPN 97.5.